I want to get to this because 1 in 4 people say that their mental health has gone down so bad during this pandemic. And psychologists fear that COVID-19 and related restrictions are going to lead to a long, dark winter. Now, when we see those numbers that 1 in 4 people say their mental health has worsened, you know what? Already we had so many people with mental health that was in a poor state. And when we hear a number that's 1 in 4, you know what I actually think? I actually think that either people aren't honest with themselves or they're not honest with the survey, because I think far more than 1 in 4 people has had a degradation of their mental health during this pandemic. The days are getting shorter. The days are getting colder. The gyms are closed. You have to find healthy ways to take care of yourself. So I wanted to get somebody a little bit different. I've had psychologists for you. I've had psychiatrists for you. I've had therapists for you. I have somebody for you right now who is an expert when it comes to meditation. And her name is Bria Freeman. And I would like to wish you a good morning, Bria.
Good morning, Dahlia.
Your name, you were made to be someone who leads anybody through meditation. Your name sounds like a gentle breeze that is just hitting me ever so softly, like a little massage of air. I love your name.
Thank you.
I know I've told you I love your name before, but I don't think I've ever said it so poetically. I surprised myself.
Very romantic.
So you have a lot of people who have been turning to you, especially more and more when it comes to the pandemic.
Absolutely. I think you're absolutely right that, you know, in the past, we saw mental health as something more kind of a very small segment of the population. And I would say over the last few years, and also definitely since the onset of this pandemic, we're seeing that most people are being confronted with at least more awareness of their needs around mental health and emotional well-being. If they're not, you know, facing some kind of crisis, they're at least more aware or in the alert stage. And we're seeing this in all levels of society. So it doesn't matter if you're rich or you're poor. The elderly have had a really hard year. Young people, married couples, single people, like really everybody is feeling it. And it's what we're often seeing, you're absolutely right, like it's in everybody's feeling it in some way. And it's often in people who we wouldn't normally consider to be facing depression. So on the outside, they might look fine. They look healthy. They're, you know, going to work every day. And then when they sit back, kind of in those quiet moments with themselves, they notice this feeling of maybe mild depression or something more serious, or just this sense of apathy or low motivation, or just the awareness that we need to do something more to take care of our own emotional and mental health.
You know, you just said something that struck me from all of those words there. And it's, you know, once somebody sits and it's quiet, and then all of a sudden, you know, they've been busy and they haven't realized all of these issues or challenges that they've been facing. And now, you know, in those moments of quiet, that depression hits or that stress hits or, you know, whatever your real feelings are, they hit. So meditation is actually a very scary thing, because when you're asking somebody to meditate, you're asking them to find that moment when all of a sudden they have to make everything around them stop. And that means they're going to realize things that maybe they don't want to.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so you're pointing to a really good point, is that sometimes we don't realize that we're under this chronic stress response. So it's there, but we might feel like everything's fine in our lives, right? But we don't realize that we're under this, it's when the sympathetic nervous system is engaged. We're under the reaction of fight or flight. And this is where we might feel very productive, actually, you know, but our senses are in hyper alert. We're hyper focused. When we need to sleep or we need to relax, we have a hard time relaxing. We're always engaged.
I feel like you're talking directly to me.
Yeah, I think it's very, very common. And Ottawa has a lot of very intelligent people, right? And so I think we don't realize that our mind is running constantly. We think that's just intelligence. But then we see it. We see it because when we're under the fight or flight response, when we're under survival response, all of our senses are geared towards survival. right? So you're not really perceiving reality. You're not perceiving your work. You're not perceiving your relationships quite properly. You're like in an altered state, right? And that we see this especially in relationships where, you know, there's this tendency, it's fight or flight. So you either are overly aggressive, overly defensive, or you become emotionally withdrawn, like you just can't handle it and you need to just withdraw into your own bubble, right? So this is how our bodies are designed to deal with stress, to kind of cope, to preserve energy. So it's not that you're a bad person, but you need to have certain skills or a certain understanding or a certain awareness that the chronic stress is there. And this is also where we see challenges around keeping good lifestyle habits or feeling motivated. All of your energy is going towards survival, right? So you don't necessarily want to like renovate the house or do these creative projects. Some people will think, oh, I'm going to lose 20 pounds in the pandemic, you know, but the motivation might not be there because your energy is, again, going toward a different place. That's part of your body's natural intelligence, actually telling you to slow down, telling you to recognize your own strengths and also your own vulnerabilities, and potentially to seek help or to seek new tools that can help you through it.
If you're just joining, I'm Dahlia. This is The Goods. And Bria Freeman, yes, her name is incredible, is with us right now. She's a meditation expert. And she is talking about how you can actually go to this place to help find these coping skills, especially ahead of this long, dark winter that psychologists are predicting will worsen because of COVID-19. When we say long, dark winter, this is figurative and literal as well. And, you know, Bria, I am a very high anxiety person. I'm a very high stress person, but I'm very high functioning. So, you know, you can get by, like you mentioned, you know, you can do all of these things and you don't realize. So I've always had a very hard time with meditation. I've been told over and over again that this is something that I need to do. And I try meditation a lot. And it's never, I'm unable to get myself to that place. However, what I've come to realize is I'm a runner and I hate running. I hate not running more because running really, I think, even though my brain is working a mile a minute when I'm running, it's working like as fast as I'm going. My brain is working very quickly, but I feel as though that is when I'm able to work through all of my stresses and my issues and compartmentalize them and organize them and deal with them. Is that a form of meditation?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely it is. And so most people will have some kind of tool that resembles meditation. It might not be meditation itself, but they might enjoy taking long walks. Long walks in nature is one of the best, is an excellent way. Jogging can be a type of meditation, taking a long drive, rock climbing, playing the guitar. All of these tools are basically things that we can do to kind of change our state of being and to also to clear the mind. And meditation, if I can explain it, if you haven't tried meditation, it's like a more potent, more powerful form of those practices. But it is very common, as you say, that people are intimidated by meditation. They think it's perhaps something that's a little bit like esoteric people do or, you know, spiritual people do, but it's not necessarily something that they've been able to practically implement in their own lives. This is very common. We read about the research about meditation, but a lot of people haven't had the chance to taste it. And so it is helpful to have a teacher or to have someone that you trust who you can work with. Because that will help you get inspired and to understand some of the common challenges, like having a busy mind. Like a lot of people have busy minds. You're definitely not alone, Dahlia.
Well, I actually find that a lot of people aren't even self-aware enough to realize that they have such a busy mind because it's just life. It's the way it is. I do find that there is one thing, and I've read that this has such an effect on a lot of people. I can't sit still unless you sit me by the water. So if I'm sitting by a river, if I'm sitting by a lake, if I'm sitting by an ocean, I can sit still and I could stay still for a really long time. What is the power of water when it comes to meditation?
Yeah, you could even say it's the power of nature, you know, because nature. So if we talk about that flight or flight response, the survival instinct, if we're in nature, especially when it's a nice day, we're closer to our natural state, our relaxed state. And so that's your natural state of being when you are happy, when you feel safe, when you feel, you know, we sometimes get that after a few days of camping. If the weather is really nice, where your mind actually changes into a different state. And this is what people who meditate are basically building on a daily basis. They've made a commitment to enhance that state of well-being within themselves. They don't necessarily need to go camping, but they might. So definitely water, trees, keeping plants in your home, anything that enhances your connection to nature has a similar, we're talking about a similar type of resonance or a similar effect as meditation.
It's so absolutely funny because you say keeping plants in your home. It just makes me think of my mom who would always call my father a plant and he was growing out of the couch. What are you working on now, Bria? Because with COVID-19, I imagine that you have to up your resources and you have to find more ways to give people the coping skills to deal with this winter we have ahead.
Absolutely. So before the pandemic started, I was teaching classes in a studio downtown, but now we've shifted to online. So I was one of my federal government clients. We developed a program called Breathing Breaks. And this is basically, it's designed for remote working teams. And we've also rolled it out into online classroom environments. So this is a guided breathwork practice. Sometimes people who have a hard time with meditation, they respond very well to breathwork. So how you breathe, if you're able to take a deep breath with me right now, how you breathe changes the state of your mind, right? So it's a guided breathwork practice. It's a 7-week course, and it's designed for people who don't meditate, who are busy, who are running multiple priorities. So it's great for teams to build team engagement, to build focus, and to do something practical to support the mental health and well-being of your team. We recently ran this as well for a group of online graduate students, a course full of nurses, and we had amazing results. They really felt like it helped them deal with some of the overwhelm and just bring this boost of positive energy into their day. A lot of them were doing the practices at home. You know, I didn't even assign it as a homework. They just immediately started doing it. So they enjoyed the class. Even if there was this initial resistance to the practice, they started over the 5-week period that we did the course. They got really into it. And it's been especially rewarding to work with people who are directly on the front lines during this pandemic. And so the practice is very simple. It's designed to be fast. So it fits into other coursework or as a team building activity. So it's a 7-week program and each session is under 25 minutes. I also have other courses that I do more for individuals, and those are all listed on my website. That's briafreeman.com.
You know, I can 100% stand behind that idea of practicing breathing, because when I was in the most physical pain of my life, when my appendix was close to bursting and I was waiting for surgery, I was waiting for emergency surgery, they kept giving me morphine and more morphine and more morphine, and it was barely making a dent. What the nurses ended up doing is a couple of them came in and made sure that I was practicing breathing effectively. And it was actually out of everything, from all of these hits of morphine, and I'm a small person, from all of these hits of morphine, that did not come close to helping me as much as the breathing did. I mean, I was still in pain, to be sure, but the breathing helped more than anything. And I've taken that with me ever since.
Absolutely. And I've heard this from a lot of my students. Like recently I was working with a young woman and she said, you know, I'm having all these challenges related to back pain. And then, you know, her physiotherapist or someone said, oh, breathing, you know, that really breath is so fundamental to our well-being. And again, if you can just take a few moments, if you don't meditate, if you can take a few moments every day to take a few long, deep breaths or to yawn.
I do that every time Justin Trudeau talks, Bria. Yeah. Bria Freeman, thank you so much. BriaFreeman.com. She's a meditation facilitator and consultant. And those are some coping skills you can take with you through this winter. Up next, another way to deal with those mental health issues. We're going to get smashing in here. I'm Dahlia, 957, going up to 7 degrees. 1. This is The Goods on 580 CFRA. 2.